in that wonderful time of worship and praise. It's my privilege to be able to be here, and it's a blessing to be able to come and see other congregations and see what God is doing in other congregations and read about the work. And I really see that God's blessing the congregation here and blessing you through your leaders, and that's a wonderful thing to have. Just want to say greetings from our church to your church, and our people do pray for the churches. We pray for the area. We pray that God's message will go out, that the gospel will go out and go forth in power and in strength. Tonight we're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 7, looking at some of the closing parts of the Sermon on the Mount, or getting close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, particularly the issue of judging. And as we do so, I just want you to have a look at a couple of the pictures that are going to come up on the screen. Maybe it is left to right rather than up and down. It's left to right, is it? Up. Yeah, see, I'm not that smart to do that. There we go. Flick it for me. Thanks, mate. Just have a look. Just consider some of these pictures, and there's another one coming up. And go for another one. There we go. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. When you look at pictures like that, what do you start thinking? What's your response to what you see, to the people who are around you? Different people, different lives, different attitudes. As we think about that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. The reading is on the screen. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. Recognizing that we are in this section that's known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been focusing on this since the beginning of chapter 5. And he's talking about how to live as kingdom people. And he's doing that particularly in the context of recognizing that there can be a Pharisaical attitude to the people who are around us. And we can have a Pharisaical attitude. And Jesus says in chapter 7, verse 1, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet, at their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." As we look at this passage, we need to recognize and understand what Jesus is saying and what he's not saying. Certainly what Jesus is not saying when he says, "Do not judge," he's not saying, "Oh, just be gullible. Just go along with everything. Accept whatever comes your way without being discerning." And how do we know that's the case? Well, later on he says that you can't throw your... "Do not give to dogs what is sacred, or throw your pearls to the pigs." Well, you at least have to judge who is a pig and who is a dog. So it's not saying... This passage is not about, you can't judge me. No one judges me but God. That's not what it's about. It's not just a carte blanche thing for you to say to other people, "Don't you tell me what to do." When Jesus says, "Do not judge," he's got a very specific context in mind. And remember that the Sermon on the Mount starts very early in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about the law and of the Pharisees. And what Jesus is doing in here is bringing a new understanding of the law. You have heard that it was said this, but I say to you. He's constantly contrasting this Pharisaical, law-driven approach to an approach that focuses on grace. And here, very much so, he's focusing on this Pharisaical approach. And the Pharisees in those days were very much about keep away. When people are different from you, keep away from them. This is the attitude that Jesus is dealing with. Keep away from them, they're promiscuous. Keep away from them, they're partygoers. Keep away from them, they're drug addicted. Keep away from them, they're homosexual. Keep away from them, they're filthy rich. Keep away from them, they're questionable. Keep away from them because they're not like us. And the Pharisees and the Pharisaical attitude judges everyone and says, because they're not like us, we're going to stand back. We're going to hide ourselves from us. They're outside the group. And Jesus is coming along and he's challenging that attitude. And he's challenging by saying, well, here is the question. How do you relate to people who are outside our group? And there's 4 points that Jesus is going to make about this as he focuses on this issue. And the first point is this. He says, don't be a bad optometrist. Don't be a bad optometrist. I don't know if you've noticed it, how easy it is to have 20/20 vision about everyone else's faults and not see your own. It's so easy to see in other people what you just don't see in yourself, and it's so easy to have a different approach. I am just being firm in my views, but you are pig-headed. I am reconsidering my position, but you have gone back on your word. I have trouble controlling my emotions, but you have anger issues. It's funny how when it involves us, we can rationalize it, but we see it so clearly in others. We're like eagles, aren't we? We can spot the fault in everyone a mile away. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't take... That's what it means to have this plank in your own eye while taking the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't deal with the specks in other people's eyes. But when you do that, recognize what's going on. You go to people and you say, oh, I think there's a bit of a speck in your eye. And there you go, I can't really feel that. Yeah, it's there, I can see it. Let me help you with that. And then you help them along, and then the other person says, well, thanks for helping me with the speck. What don't we do with the plank that's sitting there? What plank? It's like that, isn't it? We don't see in ourselves what we so clearly see in others. That's the theory. How does it work in practice? Well, we fall into this plank trap. We're planking tonight. Planking. More than a Facebook trend. We're planking. You fall into the plank trap when you don't forgive someone who has done something against you. You see, it's easier to point the finger, isn't it? You're a cheat. Maybe you're not. That's okay. Just for example. You're a liar. I'm sure one of you is. You have hurt and abused me. You have broken my heart and taken advantage of me. You have gone back on your promises. You know, we're like this all the time, aren't we? Pointing our finger. The thing about our fingers is this. Whenever we point, there's always three coming back. My grandmother used to point like this. It's so easy to see in others what we don't see in ourselves. It's so easy not to forgive. It's so easy to justify our hatred and our hurt against those. That's having the plank, isn't it? We might not fall into the same sins, but we're just as much sinners. I saw a great sign. Don't judge me just because my sin is different from your sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need to show each other grace. That's the plank trap. We fall into the plank trap when we're not kind to other people. If you're like me, you hate queues. Shopping queues in particular, I hate them. They just seem to go for so long. I don't like red lights either, so maybe I've got an issue with patience, but that's another thing altogether. But you're in the queue, and this is what I do. I literally stand there, and you look along the queues. There's four or five aisles. Here's the shortest queue. And you stand in that queue, and you judge where everyone else is, don't you? I'm going to see if I get there faster than you do. And you move forward, and you're really excited about that because the other three haven't moved yet. And then you move forward again, and you're still ahead of everyone else. And then for some reason, the checkout chick girl, it gets changed. And you've gone from having the fastest one to the slowest one. And so all of a sudden, she's making all of these sorts of mistakes. And she's putting the things through the wrong way. It's not that hard to see the barcode. It's the thing with the lines on it. Put it under the scanner. And you're watching this girl, and the other queues are going faster and faster, and that's really annoying. And you start looking at your checkout chick girl, and you say, "You stupid girl, don't you know how to do this job?" And she's dropping everything, and she doesn't know that those things, they're not snow peas. They're just normal peas. There it is right there. I can see it from here on the screen. Just press the button. And you're thinking, "Stupid girl." And you're getting all riled up at you about this person. And then God steps in and says, "Weren't you a learner once? Didn't you have to learn how to do your job? Didn't you need the patience of others?" We're not so kind, are we? We're so quick to judge. We're so quick to put other people down. We're so quick not to give them patience and love and kindness. We're so quick to not even consider what their circumstances might be. We fall into the plank trap when we gossip. Gossiping means taking the faults of others and then talking about those faults behind their back. And the only possible outcome of gossip is to put yourself up. Show how good you are by putting other people down. We're not trying to help them. Gossiping helps nobody. We're not trying to right their wrongs or encourage them or work with them. All we're doing is condemning, and they're not even in the room to defend themselves. That's the plank, isn't it? We've all got our planks. We've all got those things that we have that are just right there, and we don't even see it. And Jesus comes along and he says, if you are going to not be a person who judges, you've got to be an optometrist. You've got to look. You've got to find this 20/20 vision and use it on yourself. Don't be a bad optometrist. Let's move on. He also says, don't be a dog and pig feeder. Now, we shouldn't be judgmental. But we also need to be discerning, because there are times when people act like pigs and dogs. Now, we've got to be really careful here, the language that we use. But Jesus, when he says, don't act like pigs and dogs, he's not thinking of Babe and Lassie. He's thinking of the pigs that they have no discernment. They're willing. There's the food there. All they can see is the food. They get onto it, and then they trample you. He's thinking of the dogs that used to roam the city of Jerusalem, picking up all the scraps and everything, the feral dogs. And he's saying, when you put things before those people, those types of people, they're not discerning. There are a lot of people like that. I know a certain person, they don't realize that oysters are really valuable. And you put a plate of oysters in front of that person, it costs what? $40 for a dozen, I don't know. And that person looks at that $40, lots of people would love it. It looks like a bunch of snot sitting in pieces of shell. They have no discernment, do they, about the finer things in life. That's putting pearls before swine, giving something to someone that they don't appreciate. And Jesus is saying there are people in the world like that. There are people who we come across who just don't appreciate the gospel. when I was quite young, I was about 15, we were in the process of helping build our church. It was a communal thing in those days. We had this guy who came in. He was the guy who drove the grader. I'd never met a guy like this before. He walked into our fairly new church and he looked around and he said, "I hope this building doesn't fall on me." And I couldn't understand what he meant, but this man had never been in church. He'd never even walked into a building. He was a complete atheist. And I remember my pastor at the time trying to engage this man in some sort of spiritual conversation, and this guy just wouldn't have a bar of it. If my pastor had continued to try and engage this guy in the gospel, that's throwing pearls before swine. He's just not ready for it. You know, we need to understand that there are people who are just not ready to hear the gospel. There are people who are just not in the position or in the framework or in the mindset or in the life journey. This is what Jesus is talking about. Don't throw the pearls before swine. There's no use talking to them about all sorts of gospel stuff if their ears are completely shut. So Jesus is saying, when we're thinking about people outside the group, don't be a pig and dog feeder. If people are just pouring scorn over the gospel, just stop. Just stop. Still keep them in the relationship. Still be non-judgmental, but be discerning. Now is not the time. Jesus might have a different day and a different time, and if you keep on pushing, you're just going to shut the door even more. Jesus is talking about judging. Two things we don't do. Don't be a person who keeps the plank in their own eye, and don't be a person who is a pig and dog feeder. Then he gives us two do's. He says, do be a door-banging seeker. Jesus says, ask and seek and knock, and things will happen. Now, sadly, this verse has just been ripped out of its context so much, hasn't it? People look at this verse and say, oh, Jesus is saying, whatever I ask for, he's going to give me. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I'd love to have a new Lamborghini. That's not what it's about, is it? Because the context is about how do we deal with people. Jesus has just been talking about that, talking about the issue of judgment, talking about taking the plank out of our own eye, talking about these dogs and these pigs. That's the context. A little earlier, he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You can't just keep on nagging God to give you things. That's not what this is about. We're talking about the pigs and dogs and relationships. And Jesus says later in verse 12, do to others as you would have them do to you. This is not this prayer where Jesus is saying, look, just do whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want and I'll give it to you. It's a context thing. And the context is, how do we deal with people who are resistant to the gospel? And how do we deal with ourselves? What he's doing is giving us a plan of attack to deal with the pigs and the dogs and to deal with ourselves. See, how do we deal with that? We pray. We say, God, I am a person that is so stubborn that I cannot see my own shortcomings and my weaknesses. Lord, open my eyes to these things. Lord, I'm so concerned about my brother. He hasn't been walking with you for so long. He's so resistant, Lord. Open his heart. Asking, seeking, knocking. It's about relationship. It's about recognizing that at the end of the day, these pigs and these dogs, so to speak, are going to be converted by God alone. About coming to the Lord of grace and mercy and love, the one who gives forgiveness, the one who can transform the hardest hearts and say, God, only you can do this. Give me the right time. Give me the right words. Give me the right things to say. Give me the wisdom when to speak and the wisdom when to be quiet. Seeking that the door of grace will be flung wide open you keep on doing this because it gives us the right attitude. If we're going through life saying, God, let me look at myself and make sure that my heart and my eyes are not blinded. Let me see others through your eyes. It gives us a transformed attitude, doesn't it? A few years ago, we used to have children's talks in our morning service. And one morning service, I was talking about the items that children have for comfort. Yeah, some of them have teddy bears. Yeah. Some of them have dolls and these special things, a special blanket. And there was this one kid there, and he was sitting at the front. And he says, I have something. And he pulled out, he had a long sleeve shirt out, and he pulled out from his sleeve, he pulled out this rag. And it was the dirtiest, smelliest, yuckiest rag I'd ever seen in my whole life. And it stank as well. But this is what he used. This guy had affection for this dirty rag. To him, it wasn't a rag. To everyone else, the people at the back could smell it was that bad. But to him, it was precious. You see, when we pray and we keep on praying for people, that's what happens. We don't go through life seeing the pigs and the dogs. We see people. We see those who need Jesus Christ. We don't see drug addicts. We see those who are in a cycle of despair. We don't see drunkards. We see those who need hope. Our eyes are open and transformed to the reality of the people who are around us. You see, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to put people in boxes, isn't it? We don't know their story. We don't know why people start taking drugs. If we were in their same situation, maybe we'd do exactly the same thing. Jesus is getting us to open our eyes to pray, to see what God sees in these people, to see that if you are a door banger and you're seeking God's mercy and you're seeking God's grace, God can transform the hardest of hearts. Let's face it, He does it for me, He does it for you. He could do it for anyone. Do be a door-banging seeker. But also, as we're going around dealing with this issue of judgment and not judging, also be a Bible summary. In everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. You can be a walking, talking summary of the Bible. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And by doing this, you spread the gospel. Just being consistent. Which brings us back to the beginning, doesn't it? You see, the whole thing about taking the plank out of our own eye is God wants to transform us. Jesus has been talking in the earlier chapters about what it means to be a person who lives for Him, not to murder. Recognizing that that means taking the hate out of your heart. Not to be adulterous. Recognizing that that means taking the lust out of your eyes. Not to have retribution, but to have love for your enemies. To be a person of prayer. To be a person who is generous. To be a person who doesn't worry. And God is saying, let me transform you. Be a walking, talking Bible summary, because when you do that, people sit up and people take notice. About 10 years ago, there was a missionary in Russia, and he was captured by the Russian army, and they were not very sympathetic for Christians. And so they put this man on the ground, and they had the group of men, six or seven men who had caught him, and they all stood around this man, and then they urinated on this man. And after that had happened, the missionary stood up and he said, because Jesus forgives you, so do I. Later that night, the missionary had been locked up in an outdoor prison, and he heard something in the bushes, and there was one of the soldiers coming through. And this Russian soldier said, tell me about this man Jesus, who enables you to treat people, all people, with dignity. That person became a believer, another addition to the kingdom. Those who are outside our group might not like what we do and might not like how we come across and the things that we say. And they're very suspicious of us at times. But you see, they're always watching. They're watching how we will act. They're watching how we will respond. They're watching how we deal with our lives. They're watching how we deal with our husbands and our children. They're watching how we deal with hardships and difficulties. They're watching. And they're looking for answers. Constantly they're asking the questions, are these Christians treating each other with respect and dignity? Are they treating each other the way that I want to be treated? You see, that's the real question for everyone, isn't it? Everyone's looking for answers. Everyone's looking for hope. They're looking for something to see, and Jesus is saying here, you can be that. You can be that walking, talking summary of the gospel, having Jesus in our lives, through our lives, consistently living as we go from day to day. So here's one way to look at this section. It's about asking ourselves the question, how do we relate to people outside of our group? What view do we have of people as we see them? Are we those people who have these planks and we can so easily see the speck? Or are we those sorts of people who recognize that the speck is there and even ask people to help us with the speck so that we can have that 20/20 vision? Are we judgmental? When we see people walking down the road, what do we say about them? Do we see them and we say, there's a 16-year-old girl and she's got a baby, and we go, oh, she's just a mum using the system? Or do we see this young girl who is in need of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace? Do we see people with piercings all over the place and make a judgment of them? Or do we see them who are a creation of God in the image of Christ? We see people who have so much money and seem to have everything. Oh, they're filthy rich. They've got so much they don't even think they need God. Or do we see in them as well that they too need Jesus Christ? How do we relate to people outside of our group? How do we pray for the people around us? Are we really asking and seeking and knocking? God, bring the transformation. Only you can do that. Only you can convert the typical Australian person. Only you can do that. Only you can bring grace and mercy and love into their lives. Only you can soften the hardened of hearts. Only you can do that, Lord. Lord, open my eyes to see the needs. Are we walking the talk? Are we walking the talk? Or are we just being frauds? Are we coming to God and saying, God, use me. I want you to. I want to be a living example of you. So when I walk down the road, people might not like what I believe, but they say, there is a Christian. There is someone who stands up for the Lord. There is someone who radiates Christ. A walking, talking, biblical example. How do we relate to people who are not like us? How do we relate to people outside the group? Let's pray. Lord, as we are looking at this passage tonight, one aspect of what's going on in this passage, among many aspects, Lord, is the issue of relationships, the way that we see others. And I confess, Lord, that I find it very easy at times to put people in a box. Lord, forgive us for our judgmental heart. Those times, Lord, when we don't even bother to talk to people about the gospel because we've already decided they're not going to listen anyway. Those times when we see people and we've already given a characterization of their lives before we've even known their name. Lord, give us a discernment to recognize there are going to be times and there are going to be days, Lord, as well, when we meet people who are not quite ready. Lord, help us to not give up when we are rebuffed, but to dive into prayer, to ask and to seek and to knock. To do this for ourselves, Lord, as we want to be transformed by you, and we can be so stubborn, we can have such big planks in our eyes, Lord, we can barely see, and yet we can easily spot the speck in others. Lord, help us in that to be willing to be transformed by your Spirit. And Lord, asking and seeking and knocking so that we can be that walking Bible story. A story of transformation. A story of reconciliation. Lord, again, we must confess that we do at times not live the gospel as we ought. Forgive us, Lord, for being a poor example of you. Lord, as we go through this week, challenge us in the areas that we need to be challenged. If it's to be willing to admit we have a plank in our eye, Lord, help us to see what that plank looks like. If it's, Lord, to recognize that our consistency as believers is not what it ought to be, show us that area of our life that we can be transformed. If it's that we don't come to you asking and seeking and knocking, that we don't come to you in prayer, Lord, humble us. But most of all, Lord, we want to pray for those in our lives who at the moment are standing so strongly against you. Help us to not judge them to be beyond your hand, but to ask and to seek and to knock, that your transformation, even in their lives, will be visible. Hear our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.